It's Thursday. It's Current State, 90.5 WKAR. We're glad you're along. Millions of people have signed up for insurance under the Affordable Care Act. But that raises the question, will there be enough doctors for the influx of new patients? One solution to a potential doctor shortage is to give nurses with advanced training more autonomy. That's what a bill currently in the state Senate would do. It would allow advanced practice registered nurses, or APRNs, to prescribe medication and to play a more prominent role in healthcare. Some doctors' groups have said that it could compromise patient safety or encourage students to forego medical school in favor of nursing, but many in the nursing community have said that it will actually be good for patients and good for the state. To learn more about the bill and its implications, I talked with Cynthia McCurran, dean of the Grand Valley State University Kirchhoff College of Nursing. She told me a nurse has to have extensive training beyond nursing school before they become an APRN.
The individuals who are advanced practice registered nurses actually, for the scope of Senate Bill 68, represent clinical nurse specialists, certified nurse midwives, and nurse practitioners. And those individuals have all earned a baccalaureate degree in nursing and set for a national licensure exam to become a registered nurse. And then when they decide to be an advanced practice registered nurse, they enter into a graduate program in their area of specialization, and they complete that program of study, and then they sit for a national certification exam that certifies them for practice in their area of specialty.
Why do we need Senate Bill 68?
The current Michigan Public Health Code includes a definition of a registered nurse, but it does not include the definition or define the scope of practice for APRNs. So the legislation is needed to add the definition for APRNs, and what we are proposing in Senate Bill 68 is based on the National Council of State Boards of Nursing consensus model for APRN regulation. So we're certainly staying consistent with national standards.
What would those nurses be able to do on their own that they can't do now?
Well, actually, it will not expand their current scope of practice, but it does legitimize it. And right now, because they have delegated authority, there are challenges with appropriately holding the accountability to the APRN and the transparency for the patient. So just as an example, which might help you to understand, an APRN who might prescribe a medication for an individual, the name on the actual prescription bottle would be a physician name rather than the person who actually assessed the client and determined the need for the medication. And the medical record should be the prescriber rather than a physician name who may not have even seen the patient.
The Affordable Care Act has expanded medical care to a lot of people who might not have been eligible before. Here in Michigan, the Medicaid expansion alone has enrolled over 600,000 people. Is the influx of new patients contributing to the changing role of nurses in healthcare?
It is. And you also need to think about that we have pockets of areas in our state, as do all the other 49 states, for which access to care, because they're underserved areas, is of great concern. And we have many areas in Michigan that have that same problem. So it's a maldistribution of expertise, if you will. And allowing the APRNs to help provide that access to those individuals is one issue, as well as to the numbers that now have access to health insurance, as you noted. And then if we think about the changing demographics of our nation, and we have more individuals who are aging, and as we age, there are greater needs for care coordination and care of individuals who have complex health needs, which is what happens to individuals as they age.
You alluded to the fact that there are areas of the state, and there may be medical specialties, let's say mental health, where allowing nurses more autonomy could make a big difference in patient care. Could you tell us a little more about that?
I do think that you mentioned a very good example. We have great shortages in our state, actually nationwide, in the provision of mental health care services. And we do have nurse practitioner whose specialization is in psychiatric mental health care. And they would be excellent for contributing to those areas of shortage, not only doing the counseling, but also following through with the prescribing of medication to help in those mental health disorders. And additionally, at the Kirchhoff College of Nursing and our primary care nurse practitioner programs, we have integrated mental health into their curriculum in a very significant way to allow them to be able to be efficient in handling and recognizing mental health concerns in the delivery of their primary care, because often that's the patient's first point of contact and the recognition of their need to have more extensive follow-up.
Cynthia McCurran is the dean of Grand Valley State University's Kirchhoff College of Nursing. We're talking about proposed legislation, SB 68, that would define the scope of practice for registered nurses with advanced training and allow them a more autonomous role in the care of patients. How do you respond to the concerns from some doctors' groups that giving nurses this kind of autonomy could discourage people from pursuing the more extensive training needed to become a physician?
If an individual is considering a career choice, it's not about how fast can I become educated, but more about that discipline that I'm interested in. How does it help me fulfill what I want to do with my career? Because each of the disciplines does have their unique contribution.
Is there any validity, Cynthia, to concerns about safety, especially for patients who are dealing with complex conditions?
Actually, there is a great deal of empirical evidence that supports that care given by nurse practitioner is equivalent to outcomes of care given by physicians. And there was a recently published study, for example, that was a systematic analysis of 26 studies since 2000 that substantiates that that statement. In fact, in some instances, there are metrics in which recipients of care are more satisfied with APR and care, like specifically patient satisfaction. There is not extensive empirical evidence to the contrary.
Very interesting. Could you give us an example of how an advanced practice nurse and a physician might interact with a patient if this legislation passes? What kind of problems could a nurse practitioner deal with, and when would they refer a patient to a doctor?
I think an important thing is to think about the concept of the patient-centered medical home. And the idea of that is that the patient is the patient of a team, not just a physician or not just a physician-led team, but a patient of the entire team. And their needs are met by the individuals that best meet their needs at that time with that scope of practice. So an example might be helpful. If I were an APRN caring for a patient who came in with the complaint of feeling short of breath and feeling very tired, and I did a complete exam, and after that exam, I noticed that their heart rate was very rapid and irregular, and I did an electrocardiogram, and it confirmed my physical findings, and I would know that there is something going on in terms of the heart and make a referral then to a cardiologist for a complete workup and an analysis of specifically what needs to be done from that area of specialty.
Are a lot of other states considering similar legislation?
Yes, this is a national effort to try to create a standard of what scope of practice is across all 50 states, although we're having to do it state by state.
As dean of Grand Valley's nursing school, are you hearing from students who leave the state because they can't find opportunities to practice what they've been trained to do?
There are students who have been educated and they've passed their certification exams that want to be in a state that allows them to practice to the fullest extent of their education and certification, and they do seek those states of which they can practice in that way.
How similar is this bill to the one that was in the last legislative session?
It is essentially the same bill, including the amendments that were added to it. So it's very similar.
Do you think this bill has a better chance of passing this time around, though?
I think we're working very hard to educate the individuals at the legislative level who are making or are considering this and will be making decisions and voting. But we've also working very hard with other stakeholders who recognize the importance of this bill passing as well, such as the Primary Care Consortium, AARP, and so forth. And we've had support from specific physicians and physician groups and some of the insuring groups as well.
Are you changing people's minds, do you think?
I think when you become fully informed and you have the opportunity to have your concerns, your fears addressed, and you understand why the recommendations are being made, that yes, I think people do convert. I think a very important consideration is the fact that the Institute of Medicine, which is made up of very learned professionals that represent numerous stakeholders that influence healthcare and healthcare decisions, support this. And the reason the Institute of Medicine was formed was to have concerns about healthcare be fully explored, be examined from an evidence-based perspective, and to make recommendations to policymakers to make decisions. And if we use them for the intent for which they were organized back in the 70s, I think we should have a lot of confidence in their recommendation that this is something that would be for the best of the health of our nation.
We've been talking about proposed bills in the Michigan legislature that would let nurses with advanced training have more autonomy in patient care. Our guest today has been Cynthia McCurran, dean at Grand Valley State University's Kirchhoff College of Nursing. Thanks so much for joining us, Cynthia.
All right. Thanks so much.